Hey, Danger Danger is here with a special Halloween announcement. Part one of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well, then Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty-gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials, so stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror adventure real play podcast, loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, and starring some of history's most infamous monsters. I'm Danger Dangers, and I'm your host slash Crypt Keeper.
Hello, I'm Grayson. I play Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, party's rogue mastermind. I haven't bragged about that. Not exactly that it's a bragging point, but hey, you know what?
No, we get it. So smart.
I know. Oh, super smart.
Got a doctorate.
I'm a smart boy. I should have bragged about that part a little bit more, but I didn't. Anyway, recap. Right. Distracted. We found Carrionite, tried to make some deals, didn't really work out. But now we're going to be coming into some hot stuff, baby.
Hi, I'm Ben Magnan. I play Mary Frankenstein, our barbarian paladin. And last time I was about to do something very, very, very stupid with the man who was too long. And then Imhotep decided, no, let's not, and cast Calm Motion on me, which calmed Mary down. And apparently when Mary is like super calm, he is very articulate. So we learned something about Mary today, or not today, last time.
Yeah.
You know, it tracks with the source material.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron. I play the Phantom of the Opera, our bard. And I was continuing Phantom's emotional journey last week. But you know what? It's really exhausting and hard. So Phantom's going to turn back to looking inward at his internal moral compass for today's interactions with Carrionite.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I play Imhotep the Mummy, our cleric. And I spent a lot of spell slots trying to negotiate really, really hard. I really wanted her to sign my contract. I really just wanted her to go to hell.
You should have hired that prosecutor LaRose dude.
Fuck that guy.
And
just as things were starting to change, we are now starting up with combat.
Yay.
Oh boy. Yay. We tried. Okay. We tried talking, and then the dice started doing the talking over us.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play Larry Talbot, a lycanthropic warlock. And last time, we dove in to South Downs. We encountered the man who is too long, had a surprisingly casual conversation with him, and made our way to Carrionite, where Larry was very uncomfortable, but Mary was holding on to him tight, keeping him rooted. But the more painful thing was hearing the debate back and forth of what to do with his soul, the wolf, all the souls within the wolf, and just this whole bartering system was slowly driving him a little insane. But Carrie and I pushed. Larry thought now or never. And we have now kicked into combat gear.
All right. And with that, let's see
how we die.
Oh, boy. Let's see how this shakes out.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
So Imhotep is just kind of like, I need you to sign the thing. And he just looks over, watches kind of in slow motion. The whole pulling Larry, looks back in time to see the Hellish Rebuke light Carrie and I on fire.
Can I say in slow motion, you hear Larry go,
"You Kokion Droki."
As the Hellish Rebuke happens, basically cursing at her in Welsh.
So that happens. Is there any tell that the card captor's curse has gone off?
Go, "I got your soul now, you jerk." Does that work?
Oh shit, for real?
Yeah.
He immediately drops the contract, grabs Hellraiser, spins it in his hand for some dramatic effect. And as he spins, I cast my fifth level spell, Holy Weapon.
Wow!
Describe Holy Weapon.
You imbue a weapon you touch with holy power. Until the spell ends, which is concentration for an hour, the weapon emits bright light in 30-foot radius and dim light in additional 30-foot. In addition, weapon attacks made with this deal an additional 2d8 radiant damage on a hit. As a bonus action, you can dismiss the spell and cause it to burst a burst of radiance. Each creature of your choice that can see within 30 feet must make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, creature takes 48 radiant damage and is blinded for 1 minute.
All right.
Then he is going to, as an action, he's going to swing the Hellraiser.
First blood.
It's not great. That's 14.
Wait, are you also adding in the, it's also plus two. So proficiency plus wisdom plus two.
Oh, then it is a 16.
A 16 still does not hit, but...
Okay, then why was it important?
Well, you should know.
Are you sure you're applying all your modifiers there? Ooh, that's a really good number. It still doesn't fucking work. He's in there building my hope. I'm like, oh my god, is a 16 hit? No? Fuck you.
It's because I hadn't done the math and realized mid-sentence, but just committed anyway.
All right, so that's Imhotep's turn.
All right, Phantom, it is your turn.
All right, well, Phantom's going to wish that he had had a moment to, like, check in with Larry, see that this was going to be okay, get forgiveness before revealing what was going to happen, yeah. The usual stuff. So he yells out to everyone, hey, whoa, it doesn't have to be like this. Everyone stop, please. And he's going to press the digitate a rolled up piece of paper and walk up to Carrie and I, and it's going to unroll and it says on it, "I, Eric, the Phantom of the Opera, will reunite you with your sister Sycorax if you lend us the Reaper Scythe for 2 days and cure the affliction of my face," with a little signature line.
Does that end your turn?
Yes. I was hoping there'd be a reaction from Carrie Knight, but fair enough.
She is going to respond.
"Your group has made it plenty clear. The time for negotiation is over."
And then as a legendary action...
Aww.
Don't ever do that.
Oh, not a legendary action.
She is going to burn all three of her legendary actions.
No.
Oh, shit.
To use Energy Drain.
Oh.
Each creature within 30 feet must make... a DC 15 constitution save. Which I believe should be
everybody. Yeah, it's everybody.
God damn it, okay.
Oh, unnatural 20.
19 plus 7, 26.
17, I guess Carrie and I ain't shit.
I got a natural 6 for a total of 8. So I'm doing good.
That's a 3.
Hey.
With a minus 1,
hey.
So it's a 2.
Hey!
Go on, one shot me.
All right, so Larry and Jack, because the two of you failed, reduce your max HP by 14.
Oh my god!
Oh, come on!
And then she is going to heal for 28. As she steals that vitality from you. And then it's the lair action. Which, let me roll to see which lair action it is as she saps away that vitality.
It just does it again.
That is a 5. So as she siphons off that health, she lets off an aura of necrosis, and you hear kind of echoing around you the screams of the trapped souls in the swamp. And until the next round, all creatures within 30 feet who are hostile towards the hag cannot regain hit points.
Love it.
I mean, right now we're technically at full HP.
Yeah. Looking on the bright side.
Hell yeah. I could just get one shot with just a half shot.
So now it is her turn. Her legendary actions refresh.
Oh, god damn it.
Mother Carrionite is going to... Oh, hang on. I realize there's an initiative I forgot to roll.
Oh, no. No.
For whom does the dice roll? Swear to god, give it to Grimhilda. I'm gonna scream.
So, that out of the way, she is going to get an eye on Larry, dash towards him.
Oh, goody.
Reaping scythe in hand.
I don't like that.
Hey, that covers the action.
She is going to metaphorically dash towards him.
Yeah.
Reaping scythe in hand. And Larry, I'm going to need you to make a charisma saving throw.
Yep.
DC 19.
Okay. Then it's a 21.
Yay!
Hell yeah.
I'm packed full of personality.
He's too likable.
So she dashes towards you, scythe in hand, and slices through you, attempting to pull out one of the souls trapped within you. You hold the souls at bay through sheer force of the power of the wolf, and she does not extract Sister Sycorax from you.
Hey, it's not gonna be that easy.
And you will not suffer the negative effects of this. This is a recharge ability, so it will take a little bit of time for her to be able to get this back.
Hell yeah.
And that is going to end her turn. So now, Jack, it is your turn.
I have a series of questions.
Go on.
What are the dimensions of my picture frame?
Why?
The goal would to be to, like, you know how she's standing and things are potentially slimmer when they're standing? I would simply take the picture frame and flap it over her and then stand on top of the picture frame so she's trapped in there.
Go ahead and make an unarmed strike attack.
Oh, I just wanted to know if it had a chance of working.
Potentially. We'll see what the outcome is.
Nah, it's a 5.
So if you do attempt to try to bring the painting down on her, she is going to move out of the way and you're going to miss.
Okay, cool. So that was like a, I don't know, shadow image sparring thing that Jack just did in his head. He was like, yep, nope, that's not going to work. Okay, cool. Let's go with the old and reliable. I will go ahead and attempt to hide in a bush, my go-to.
Go ahead and roll stealth.
21.
Her perception.
Don't you do it. I've got one thing. Don't you take it away from me.
24.
Son of a...
All right, well, I think I'm hidden, unless she's looking right at me. But in the meantime, I will go ahead and take the help action to everyone else around me.
Now that we have Imhotep back, I'm going to be a little bit less lenient on what you can use the help action for. Pick a specific person doing a specific thing and help them with that.
Okay. I will help Larry with his thing.
What am I going to do?
With your next attack or ability check, Larry, you will get advantage.
Okay.
I will try and distract her with my crossbow bolt.
I'll make sure I don't do something that's a saving throw.
All right, and does that end your turn?
I believe so.
All right. So now it is the ghost of Granny Grimhilda's turn.
Of course it is.
No, it's not. It doesn't have to be.
Can it not?
And she is going to use her action to tap in through the ethereal plane to summon beasts. And shambling out of the brush around you and kind of bubbling up from the ground, an undead owl and ox make their way in, which they will then take their turns immediately after.
Yeah, I mean.
So that will end her turn, is summoning in the zombified owl and ox.
Imhotep looks over, sees the zombie animals, and goes, "Those things again! Them again!" Luke points to Mary. She's bringing these fuckers back! Oh, and she's got horns again! What's with you and the horn creatures? The antlers were the...
And now it is the ox's turn. It is going to charge at Larry.
Oh, everyone's picking on little old me.
Why are we picking on Larry?
Yeah.
Can we not pick on Larry? Larry's a nice guy.
Larry's the one who aggroed 16.
Does
a 16 hit?
Yeah, it hits.
All right, so that is going to deal... That's going to be 10 damage.
Ooh.
Then the owl is going to... take to the sky.
As they do.
It is going to fly, circle around, and try to make a talon attack on Phantom.
Bring it on. My AC is insurmountable.
Nat 1.
Oh. Insurmountable.
Yeah.
See, I told you.
Can they keep doing that, please?
So with a Nat 1, your AC is insurmountable.
Yes.
And now it is Larry's turn.
Oh, I need to get out of here. We're gonna ski daddle. I need some range.
Larry, move your ass!
I'm gonna try!
Don't move your ass that
Why?
Much, though.
Also, what's our full moon timer looking like?
I don't know.
Well, we've entered 6 seconds a turn ratio,
prior to combat.
I don't know.
Another hour, maybe?
All right, 21 hours till the full moon.
I didn't agree to that.
And then I want to Eldritch Blast Sycorax, not Sycorax, Carrionite. Pew pew. Does a 16 hit?
A 16 does not hit.
Does not hit, okay. The other one is 21.
21 will hit.
All right, so that will be 11 damage, and Carrionite will be pushed back 10 feet. And the thing I have that I keep forgetting, but life seems a little dire right now, is my card class additional thing that I can do. Swords for my Eldritch Invocation, Eldritch Arcana swords. Creature takes 1d4 additional damage, and that's one. All right.
I mean, it's not nothing.
It's not nothing.
All right.
That'll be my turn.
All right, Mary, it is your turn.
Okay, then. So, since shit's going down bad, Mary is going to go into a rage, and I'm gonna do my lightning.
All right, so lightning bolt.
Yep, lightning bolt on Carrionite.
So that is a dexterity save?
Yes, dexterity saving throw.
That is a 16.
I had it written down. Damn, it's 15.
Half damage on save?
Yeah. It was a 2, so she takes one damage of lightning. So for movement, I'm going to go right up to her, and I am going to roll to hit. And if I hit, I want to use one of my spell slots to cast Divine Smite.
Yes!
She is a fiend, so it's going to hurt her a lot. 13 to hit. This is probably not going to hit.
13's not going to hit.
Okay, so I whiff that one. So from I'm going to go for my second attack. Damn it, that is a 16 to hit.
16 will also not hit.
God damn it, why are my dice doing this to me? Why? So I completely whiffed on both my attacks.
And as you are swinging at her, she is phasing back and forth between the ethereal plane, basically decorporealizing as you are slashing through her.
Hey, that is cheating!
And that ends your turn?
Yep.
All right, and she is going to take a legendary action.
Oh, no.
She's going to take 2 of her legendary actions.
Oh, no.
To cast Eyebite.
Oh, no.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, I hate that.
Nom, nom, nom.
So her eyes roll back in her skull and kind of drop down a little bit further behind, leaving just inky dark voids in her eye sockets.
Ew.
And dark, enervating energy creeps out of them and encircles around you, Mary. Make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. My wisdom's a +1. Oh, don't screw me over. Don't screw me over.
The DC is 16.
Well, I rolled a 7, so I ain't doing shit. You know what? No, screw that. I have 1 DM inspiration. Dan, can I use that to re-roll this thing?
Go for it.
Oh, that's not... It's a 15. No! It's better than last time, but it doesn't save me.
All right. So you are sickened.
Mm. Oh.
So you have disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks. Each turn, you can remake that save to try to break out of it, but as long as you are affected by it, you have disadvantage on all attack rolls and ability checks. And this is a concentration spell, so...
So she could possibly get knocked out of it.
All right, so Imhotep, it is your turn.
All right. So I'm going to swing my sword at Carrionite one more time.
Okay, go ahead and roll to hit.
I'm also going to cast Green Flame Blade.
Ooh.
Second creature takes fire damage equal to your spellcast modifier. Fuck, okay. This is going to be funny. I know she's resistant to a lot of this stuff, but we'll do it anyway. All right. So I'm going to swing with my Hellraiser right in front of me. And I'm like, I need your soul. I just need you to give it to me, please. That is going to be a 25 to hit.
A 25 will hit.
Okay.
Ooh.
So that's going to be 8 damage. Plus it's a D8 necrotic. It's a D8 radiant. And then it's a D8 flame.
Everything except the radiant is going to get cut in half.
That's fine. So the necrotic damage is going to be 4. That's after. I rolled an 8, so it's a 4. The flame is going to be also... I rolled an 8, so another 4. And then the radiant is going to... Ah, damn it. The radiant is just 1. And the green flame blade, as I swing it, the fire jumps to the owl, and the owl will take 6 points of damage because it takes my wisdom modifier as fire damage.
Okay, so that is 6 damage to the owl. And then what was the damage to Mother Carrionite again?
4, 4, 4, 1. So it's 13 damage.
Okay, and does that end your turn?
Yeah, that's my bonus and my main.
All right, Phantom, it is your turn.
Yes.
You didn't like that? Yes.
Well, don't worry. Not much is going to happen right now. I will travel 30 feet towards Larry, and I will yell at Larry, hey, do your magic or whatever you're going to do, and then get over here. I need your help. And then I'm going to hold my action until Larry gets here.
Aye, aye.
Hey.
Okay, so for your held action, what are you doing specifically?
Without tipping the hand to the rest of the party too much, I did send you a quick question / plan.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh my god.
He's gonna pick me up and chuck me into Carrionite's maw.
Okay, spoilers, Jordan. Come on.
I'm sorry.
I do have to think about that, but I will still allow you to hold that action and have it go off at that trigger, but I have to think about how that will play out.
Well, that's my turn, kind of. Enjoy, guys. Have fun.
And then we go on to our lair actions.
Oh.
So, Imhotep.
No.
After you've made your swipes at Mother Carrionite, some skeletal and zombified hands will erupt out from the ground beneath you and grab hold of your legs, immobilizing you for the next round.
Ah, rude.
Don't like that. No thank you for that.
And now it is Mother Carrionite's turn, and she is going to use her action to spread the eye bite.
Oh, no.
Oh, gross.
Don't do that.
So over to you, Imhotep. You make a wisdom saving throw, DC 16. As that inky dark energy that has wrapped itself around Mary's eyes leaks out of his head and begins to undulate towards you.
Three on the dice and 8 on the roll.
So, you are currently concentrating on the holy weapon, right?
Yes.
Well, that concentration's going to break because you are going to fall asleep.
This is your discretion, but I can dispel it and have it burst and do damage. Can I still do that as the spell ends, or is it just fade away?
I'll grant you it'll do the splash damage of being dispelled.
Hell yeah, okay.
So you will, as a result of the eye bite, as it makes its way towards your skull, wraps around your eyes, it will completely knock you unconscious, and you're unable to run and escape from it because you're held in place by the zombie hands. You will wake up immediately if you take any damage, or if another creature uses an action to wake you.
Mm-hmm. So, as the inky darkness kind of pulls over his eyes, like, as he kind of leans forward and the sword touches the ground, there's this blinding flash of light, and creatures of my choice within 30 feet, so I'm going to have all the bad guys have to make a constitution saving throw. DC 16.
That is a 19 on Mother Carrionite. That is an 8 from the owl and a 16 from the ox.
Okay, so the owl is in trouble.
That is a 10 from the ghost of Granny Grimhilda.
Bitch. Okay, so the owl and Grimhilda are going to take 22 damage.
Cool.
And are blinded. The others are only going to take 11 and they're not blinded. It's radiant damage.
Describe how the owl re-dies.
Mechanically, it's all radiant damage, but here's what I imagine. The flash goes off, the owl is blinded, and immediately just flies into Grimhilda and just smacks her in the face. She's corporeal enough just to get smacked in the face, which is where she takes her damage from. And he proceeds to disintegrate because it was just too hard of a hit.
Excellent. So the owl is disintegrated, you have been knocked unconscious, and this splash damage has erupted, and Granny Grimhilda is blinded, you said. So then Mother Carrionite is going to, I forgot to recharge her soul steal.
No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to.
She rolled a 4, she has to roll a 5 or a 6 on a d6 for it to recharge, so it does not recharge.
Oh, jeez.
So she is going to, after using her action to spread the eye bite, she is going to hop on top of her reaping scythe, which floats in the air like a broom of flying.
Hey. That's really cool, though. Hey.
Copyright.
No.
And she is going to swing around and fly off in between Larry and Phantom.
I don't like that, ma'am.
And that will end her turn. So now, Jack, it is your turn.
Alrighty. Doing a quick look, not an action's worth, hopefully. A quick look at Grimhilda. Is she considered undead, or is she just a ghost?
Ghosts are considered undead.
Now, if I were to try and wake up Imhotep, is that an action or a bonus action?
It would take an action to wake him up.
All right. What I will do is that I will take an action to go ahead and shake him. Imhotep, slap his face. Wake up. It's not time for... No nappies.
What?
You heard me. We need you right here. So after that, trying to hide in the bushes. And I think that's roughly everything that I can do.
I will say your hiding will succeed automatically because no one is looking at you.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right. So that ends your turn. It is now the ghost of Granny Grimhilda's turn. She is blinded, so she cannot see where you all are, so she is going to try to phase out of her cage, make her way out to try to attack wildly, and so she will have disadvantage. And of course, it's the same two people that are within range.
Yep.
So she is going to make a bite and claw attack.
Come on, bring it, bitch. My AC's got even higher since last time we fought.
No, don't bring it, bitch. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
A 15 and an 18.
Both miss on for me.
Both hit for me.
Odds, they're going to attack Imhotep. Evens, they're going to attack Mary. Odds, going for Imhotep.
Don't do that.
Oh.
So that is going to deal 16 damage.
Woo-wee. I'm at 42 health.
Oh, must be nice.
And that is going to end her turn. And now it is the ox's turn. And the ox is going to charge at Phantom.
My AC is insurmountable.
That is 11.
Oh, that hits so hard. Yeah, that's got me.
Really?
What is your AC, Aaron?
It is a 10.
Ah. Oh. Oh, shit. Okay.
Damn.
That is going to be 9 damage.
Use your cape like a matador.
So now it is Larry's turn.
How close do you need me to get to you?
Touching, unfortunately.
Okay. I think I'm going to use my Eldritch Invocation of Thief of Five Fates and cast Bane on our 3 enemies. Must make a charisma saving throw.
So that is going to be a 22 on Carrionite.
That's what I thought. That's a save.
An 18 from Grimhilda.
Boo, that's a save.
And a -1 from the ox.
Okay. Let me check the DC on that.
Oh, he's saved.
It cycles back around. Whenever a target that fails the saving throw makes an attack roll or saving throw before the spell ends, the target must roll a d4 and subtract the number rolled from the attack. Well, I did something.
Well, kind of.
I did one little thing.
Sorry to let you cast a concentration spell right before this.
What are you gonna do to me?
Larry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I am so sorry in advance, but just know that I truly believe this is the right thing to do. I think this is what's best for us all. And Phantom clicks open the pocket watch, and you see that it says 21 hours.
Whoa!
And he shoves it against you.
Got
what?
It!
What?
Activating it. I don't know if it's going to work, but you will at least get a long rest.
That's
so
good.
Oh, what?
All right.
All right. Roll me just a straight d20 for luck.
Okay.
Here we go.
11 or higher, it works. 10 or below, it doesn't.
Luck. 18.
Oh.
So that is 21 hours. Roll a d4, and in that many rounds, you will wolf out.
Okay. 3.
All right, in 3 rounds, you will transform. But you also get all the benefits of a long rest, so that max HP goes back to where it should be.
All right.
Hey, Dan, do you regret giving us that pocket watch yet?
What do you mean, yet?
But Larry's going to look at you, Phantom, and he's just going to nod and go, I understand. Yeah, I agree.
Well, hell yeah, it's about to get so spicy up in here, y'all.
Larry starts doing stretches to try and warm up for the break-in.
All right, Mary, it is your turn.
All right. Well, I move 35 feet up over to Karenite. I want this witch dead. So first bonus action, I'm going to use my lightning.
That is a 14, so I don't believe that saves.
Nope, she had beat a 15, so she takes all this, which is only a 1.
Got her.
Do you want to deal with Carrier Knight leaving Imhotep alone with Grimhilde? He's like, really? Really?
You beat her once before, we can do it again. There's bigger fish to fry.
We beat her, not I beat her.
So a disadvantage roll for my first attack. I rolled a 4 and an 8, so that attack completely whiffs. My second disadvantage attack roll is another 4. As I keep swinging, I go, you know, I'm going to land a hit eventually. And when I do, is it going to hurt? And it's going to make me feel really, really good. So just stand still and accept your fate.
Jack is just facepalming in the bush, being like, he doesn't learn and he does this every time.
All right, and that ends your turn. So, Imhotep, it is your turn.
Can I do my save?
Oh, yes, redo your save.
Six save. What is a wisdom saving throw, right?
Yes, it is a DC 16 wisdom save.
Oh, god damn it, I rolled a 14 and my wisdom's a +1, so it's a 15. This is some bullshit.
Imhotep, it is your turn.
All right. I'm just going to use my green flame blade again.
All right, go ahead and roll to hit.
That is a crit fail.
No!
Nicely done.
Off to a great. We love to see it.
So describe to me what that looks like.
With a bunch of dramatic flair and pomp and circumstance, he draws back his weapon and he says, I have slain you once. I shall slay you again. And as he brings it up, it is wreathed in green fire and he swings it. And since she's blind, she just kind of does that comedy thing where she ducks a little bit and he swings right over her head and accidentally lets go of the sword. And I'm going to say it flies a little bit behind her.
Oh. No. Boomerangs away.
He throws it and he just kind of goes, oops. Pardon me. He kind of sidles along. Excuse me, pardon me. Need to get through. And he's going to walk over and kind of like start tugging to get the sword out of whatever mire it's stuck in.
That's so good.
Just wait there for a moment. I'll be back in just a second. He's gonna just wow. This is very.
I don't think I will.
Just a second. This is only going to take me if the D is correct. Six, seconds. Oh, don't laugh.
Anyway, Phantom, it is your turn.
Well, how could I follow up such a good turn? Let's see.
By also rolling a nat one.
I hope not. I will start with a bonus action. Once I pull up this description, because I know you're going to ask me for it. I will cast my conducting technique, Resonance.
Ooh.
Please describe Resonance.
Resonance. You shape the harmonic vibrations of a weapon's movements into a dangerous sonic enhancement. Using a bonus action, you can expend and roll a bardic inspiration dice, choosing one weapon within 60 feet of you. Until the end of your next turn, all attacks with that weapon deal an additional thunder damage equal to half of the number rolled.
Ooh. Ooh.
Mary, you've got a cool-ass sword out, if I recall.
I do.
Well, it's about to be a cool-ass loud sword.
Ooh.
Enjoy 3 thunder damage tacked on to whatever attacks you're able to do.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Mary, I appreciate you seeing things in me that I don't always see in myself. Here. And Phantom gestures at you, and a little bit of, like, Christine's voice seeps out of the conch, wraps around Phantom's arm in, like, musical bars with, like, the notes and stuff, and then shoots out and circles around your sword.
Ooh. Very cool.
Oh my God, it's like real Chad energy.
That's not real Chad energy, Jack. This is! And now I'd like to cast at 4th level, Dissonant Whispers on Carrionite.
All right, and what do I have to do?
For you, it's a wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom save, that is a 13.
The DC is 16, so you're going to take 3d6 plus another 3d6. It's going to be 6d6. You are also, you must immediately use your reaction to move as far as your speed allows away
yes.
from me.
Yes.
And that is it. Yeah, you just got to flee.
And it's 66 of what type of damage?
Psychic.
Very nice.
Very nice. Cut that in half because she's resistant to psychic.
No!
Police is unquartered. One day I'm going to do cool stuff.
That was cool.
Okay, 16 cut in half, it's 8.
All right. Excellent turn.
Thank you, but I'm also going to run away a little bit.
So she needs to move as far away from you specifically as her movement allows?
Yep.
Well, because of the way you have her positioned on the map, she's kind of cornered.
That's only a little bit.
Oh.
Sorry about that, Mary. I didn't think about synergy. Goodbye.
Wait, before you go, I want to give Eric my potion of healing, alcoholic beverage, and my lodestone.
Can we just do that? Is that a free action?
Can I do that when at either the end of his turn, or I guess I'll chase him down next turn?
On your turn, you can do that.
All right. I'll chase you down.
All right. So now it is the lair action.
Ooh.
So as she flies away on the reaping scythe, the ground beneath you all begins to tremble. And you see surfacing up from the muck and mire around you, several dead bodies starting to float to the surface.
Ew.
And as these bodies start to surface, the ground and the water is shaking and trembling as the ground is getting displaced. And every creature that is on the ground needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Womp womp.
DC 19.
DC 19.
Or be not prone.
I rolled an 18 minus 1.
I rolled a 13.
10.
I rolled a 15 total with the dice.
And the ox rolled exactly 19.
Oh, jerk.
Boo.
I rolled a 15.
I'm really going to enjoy it when I finally get to stab something. Just be patient, Mary. Just be patient, Mary. Just be patient, Mary.
Go for the bowl. Go for the bowl.
I look over the bowl. Or maybe it's time to carve some steaks.
Hell yeah.
Now that the lair action has happened, I will give you guys 1 minute to strategize.
So the strategy is to stand up, right?
I'm getting my sword and beating the shit out of Grimhilda over here.
I was going to try and beat the shit out of Carrie Knight, but apparently I can't, and I can't get to back to Grimhilda to back up Imhotep, so I'm just going to go for the bowl if everyone's cool with that.
Don't worry. I got this. Don't even worry.
Using half my movement to get up, I can't reach Eric, so I'm going to give all my crap to Mary, because he's closer.
Jack, Mary, what can I do to help?
I don't know.
Boost attacks, if possible.
Yeah, I can try and do that again.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely do that.
I'm gonna help out Imhotep with Grimhilda because I got a +2 to my undead for the dagger.
And I'll try and slam down an AoE. We'll see if it works.
Okay.
All right, and that is 1 minute. So it is now Mother Carrionite's turn. I am first going to roll to see if her soul rend recharges.
Please don't.
No! Oh, God. So she is immediately going to fly 45 feet back towards the prone Larry.
Oh, no.
And is going to burn through that ability again. Larry, make a charisma saving throw, DC 19.
Initial roll is a 5 plus 7, but I do have a point of inspiration.
Yes, yes.
I think now's the time.
Yeah.
You know it's bad when Aaron's telling you to do the reroll.
I know, right?
A
12
plus 7, 7, 8, 9, 19.
Ooh. That is 19, and 19 is the threshold to save.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, good job.
I hate it here.
So she reaches towards your chest and the essence of Sycorax continues to bulge out as your skin stretches around her silhouette like rubber and silicone. And she starts to breathe through the surface and then the skin snaps back shut around her and pulls her in as the wolf refuses to let go.
Larry's just flailing around, rolling in this mud.
Get away from my friend, you bitch.
Thank you, Barry.
This doesn't concern you.
Bullshit, it does. You harm him, it very well concerns me.
She's just gonna ignore you.
Damn.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm continuing to roll in the muck.
Jack, it is your turn.
Alrighty. How far is Phantom away from me?
Looks like 15.
Yeah. I would assume.
Oh no, he's coming for his revenge after all this time.
Yes, the perfect opportunity.
Phantom, did you want to borrow the broom?
No. No, I'm fine. And he's like sitting in the thigh-high water, just upset.
Okay, fine, cool. So Jack will go ahead and get back on his feet. He'll run on down to Grimhilda, and I believe she's blind, so that gives me advantage on attack, right?
Yep, so go ahead and make this a sneak attack.
Sweet.
Yay!
Yay!
So I'm pretty sure that's going to hit, because I rolled a 19 on the die.
Yeah, that's going to hit. So it's a d4, plus 4, plus 2, plus 5, d6.
Nice.
I mean, it's okay. You know, it's not as much damage as, you know, some of us can do, but...
You know what? I'm trying.
I did 8. The joke is I did 8, Grayson.
Oh, okay. Okay. 26 damage.
Nice.
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 And then I believe he's still got a bonus action, and he will run his extra 5 feet and dive into the bushes, his old trusty, and do a hide. So yeah, that'll pretty much go ahead and end Jack's turn. And then just out of curiosity, I didn't know if the zombies were on the turn order.
They are not zombies. They are just corpses.
All right. Okay. Just casual.
All right. So since that ends your turn, as a legendary action, they are no longer just corpses. She's going to cast Dance Macabre.
Oh, don't do that.
This will use up all 3 of her legendary actions. Now, these 5 corpses are going to animate as zombies.
God damn it, Dan. They're all out of range of my Destroy Undead.
Damn.
Ooh.
At the moment.
Mm. Hey, but I have Grimhilda to deal with.
And speaking of, I see that turn order.
It's getting full.
What's it look like when she reanimates these guys?
As these corpses rise to the top, They sit motionless momentarily as Mother Carrionite holds out her hands and calls forth, pulling through spirits out of lanterns that rush into the ground, inhabit these bodies as they slowly start to right themselves up.
That's sick.
And make their way as the mud and muck falls off of them and as the water and vines slowly start to move out of their way.
That's awesome, but no!
And now it is Granny Grimhilda's turn. She's going to make a save on that blindness. And what was the DC on that?
17.
All right, that was a 15 on the save, so she is still blinded.
Oh, thank God.
So I'm going to have her just do a couple of claw attacks at Imhotep. These will be with disadvantage because she's blinded, advantage because you're prone, so they're just going to neutralize. Wait, actually, no. Her response to you saying, wait just a minute, was no. So no, she's going to move her movement away from you.
No, wait, come back here.
No, I'm trying to do a thing. It's going to be all cool. Don't.
No.
And she's going to use her action to dash right up to Larry and Mary.
Oh.
Oh.
Hi.
What?
How's
the...
it going?
And that will end her turn. So now it is the ox's turn.
Hello, also 5 feet away from me.
Oh, no.
This is what we call seriously flanked.
The ox is going to pull back 10 feet, and then it's going to charge at the prone Mary.
Yeah.
Great.
So it is going to...
Mary's already raging, right?
Mary is raging.
Yeah, I'm raging.
21 with the advantage roll.
Son of a bitch, that hits.
That'll be 14, cut in half from your rage, and then cut in half again because it's piercing damage. So 3 damage altogether still.
I'm going to enjoy turning you into hamburgers later.
All right, Larry, it is your turn.
Larry's sitting there in the mud. Carrie Knight on one side, Grimhilda on the other. Sycorax trying to break free. Covered in mud, a gash across him, 2 rounds to wolf. The wolf sweats are starting to happen. And he's like, yeah, this is squarely in worst day number 3. Okay, I'm skedaddle. And he's going to start crawling his way out from betwixt these 2 witches and over to Mary and is going to say, Mary, I'm not going to be able to use these. And looking at our situation, we might need to use them. So here. And he's going to give you the lodestone with 6 charges.
Okay.
A potion of healing.
Okay.
And alcoholic beverage.
Neat. All right.
So that was 10 feet to get to Mary.
Larry, I trust you. Run.
You got it, bud. I promise I won't be far behind. And he's going to skedaddle. And he is going to... I'm wondering if I should slam down another sickening radiance before I'm gone. It'll disappear when I change, but it might do some damage while we're here.
Do it.
Do it.
All right. 30-foot radius sphere.
Oh, I almost forgot. The Dance Macabre broke Carrie and I's concentration on the eye bite, so...
Okay. Yeah.
So, Mary, you are no longer affected by it.
Yay, I don't have freaking disadvantage. That was some bullshit.
Most our map will be sickening radiance, but we only have 2 more turns.
Oh, God.
Just need to keep pushing suckers in here and we'll slowly microwave them. When a creature moves into the spell's area for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there, that creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 4d10 radiant damage, and it suffers 1 level of exhaustion and emits a dim greenish light in a 5-foot radius. This light makes it impossible for the creature to benefit from being invisible. The light and any levels of exhaustion caused by the spell go away when the spell ends.
All right, Mother Carrionite rolled a 19 on the die.
That'll save...
And the zombies rolled an unnatural 20.
No! Oh, what are you gonna do?
Well, the zombies aren't going to be able to get out of it within the next turn or two, so they will probably be fried by it shortly.
Hopefully. And if we can push Grimhilda in here as well, that would be dandy. But that is going to end Larry's turn as he opens up a big sickening light in the middle of the swamp.
Okay, so the wolf eyeball once again manifests and bears down.
And it's a little bit more frantic and jittery as this wolf presence is slowly starting to arrive in this world.
All right, Mary, it is your turn.
All right, so for bonus action, I'm going to use my lightning on Carrie Knight.
All right, and that is a dex save.
Yeah, dex save 15.
That is a 10, so she will take the full damage.
Roll d6 damage, which is a 3, so she gets 3 lightning damage. Well, fudge it. I'm just going to go ahead and attack her then.
Hey.
Please be nice to me. No, god damn it, that's a 3.
3 is not going to hit.
So I'm going to use my second attack on Carrion Knight. Are you fucking kidding me? Why can't I not attack this game? Oh, that was a 2. That's even worse.
David.
No pressure, Mary, but I can't do the cool music thing that many times.
Yeah, I got nothing else. So, great. Fantastic. I rolled a 3 and a 2. This is bullshit.
We love to see it.
We can only go up from here.
All right, so Imhotep, it is your turn.
First thing he's going to do is he's going to pick up his sword, wheel around and go, I'm now ready to... Where'd she go? Really? It was like 6 seconds. She couldn't just stand still? Ugh, rude.
She went that way, and you see a finger pointing out of a bush.
Okay. So I stand up, and I only have 15 feet of movement, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to use, and I'm hoping that this is going to be as funny as I'm expecting, as I'm hoping it will be. I am going to summon my Guardian of Faith.
Oh, no.
A large spectral guardian appears and hovers for the duration of 8 hours in an unoccupied space of your choice that you can see within range, 30 feet.
I just have to ask, is it the same Anubis that you pushed off the minecart?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping is going to be the same.
That's exactly where my mind
yeah.
was.
Any creature hostile to you that moves to a space within 10 feet of the guardian must succeed on a dexterity saving throw. The creature takes 20 radiant damage on a failed save and half as much on a successful. The guardian vanishes when it has dealt a total of 60 damage.
Nice, all right.
And he grabs his vial of water and he chants a prayer. And he reaches his hand out towards that area and he summons his thing and he goes, please don't be the one guy. Please don't be the one guy. Please don't be the one guy. Please command me if it's that one guy. Oh, it's that one guy. Look, I'm really sorry. This time it's like, actually, like, look, there's a soul that's supposed to be going over, but they're not. They're just being stubborn. Like, come on.
All right, but you're on thin ice, buddy.
No, fair and valid. I totally understand.
Is Anubis my next favorite character? I think it might be.
Make sure you tell the big old man that I did my best, makes a little heart with the fans.
So if a hostile creature attacks an allied creature, then they will get counterattacked, correct?
Any creature hostile to that moves to a space within 10 feet of the guardian must succeed. So it's just if they're there.
All right, I will have them save on that now.
17 is what they're aiming for, and it's dex.
So that is exactly 17 for Carrionite.
Ma'am.
Damn it.
But for Grimhilda, she rolled a 4. So she does not save, but Carrionite does.
So Grimhilda will take 20. Carrionite will take 10. And it is radiant damage. They're not susceptible to radiant damage, are they?
They have no resistance to it, but they are not vulnerable to it. Oh, and the ox has to save on it, too.
Okay.
19 on the dice.
So he's going to take another 10. So we have dealt a total of 40 damage. Which means that once he deals another 20, he goes away.
I like that he's paid by the hit point.
That's how it works.
That's so funny.
All right, Phantom, it is your turn.
That's it. We're going wild.
Ooh.
It's time to take Carrionite off the board.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So, I'm going to polymorph Carrionite.
All right, what is the save?
Wisdom.
That is a 19.
Silvery bars.
Oh.
She rolled a 3.
Oh, no, that bad, huh?
Actually, no. You still have a devil's bargain over your head.
No, 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 no.
So, no, that's not a 3. That's a 20.
All right, that's fine. Larry, you get advantage.
Hey, I'll take it.
Well, bottoms up. Jekyll juice.
Hey!
Oh, shit.
So go ahead and roll a d6.
I rolled a 2 on the dice.
Swiftness. The drinker's walking speed increases by 10 feet for 1 hour.
Oh, perfect.
All right, I stepped out of the water the rest of the way. Sorry, everyone. Thought that was going to be cooler. Good luck, everybody. I'll help you out if I can.
Manifest your Heelys once more.
I mean, he was Shadow the Hedgehog last time.
It's perfect. Full circle.
And I think it's the same effect.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, so now it is the zombies' turn, collectively. They have to immediately save on the Sickening Radiance, correct?
Yes, at the start of their turn.
I'm going to just roll once for all of them.
Sounds good. Unless you succeed, then sounds bad.
Jesus Christ, that's a nat 20.
Oh my
Push
God.
Push me back in the mud.
So, first zombie is going to run directly out of the Sickening Radiance and cross paths with the Guardian of Faith. So, gonna have to save on that. That is a 14 minus 2.
He's gonna take 20 radiant damage, and the Guardian of Faith is gonna vanish.
Oh.
I'm just imagining him to be like, yes, I have this great power of the gods. 1, 2, 3. Wait, where are you going? I haven't even pulled my hand off of the water yet.
You're not in a position to be making demands right now.
Hey. Thank you for your help. It was wonderful.
Up to the next time.
Next time I'm going to look for a stealth idol.
And your heart gets a little bit heavier again.
And then the other two zombies that are within the Sickening Radiance do not have enough speed to get out of it. Only one zombie will be able to get within range to actually do anything. So one zombie will get within 5 feet of Phantom and will make a strike out at him.
My AC, blah, 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 you know.
Well, that is a 5.
Is insurmountable is what I was going to say.
So that is going to end the zombie's turn. So now it is the lair action.
It doesn't have to be. Just saying, it doesn't have to be.
One creature within 60 feet, which everyone is within range.
Damn it.
So I am going to roll to see who this will affect.
I'm also hidden if that does anything.
Hidden from the lair?
Yeah, you're yes. In the lair.
No. I'm hidden from the lair.
Phantom, make a dex save.
Uh-huh. Oh.
No.
Ooh, 21.
All right.
Nice.
I am so sorry. I misread this one. There is no save.
I felt good. What's up?
As you dodge out of the way of that zombie, more undead hands reach out from the ground, grabbing you by the ankles and holding you in place. So you are immobilized for the next round.
My shadow shoes! No!
They just got them!
They will last for an hour, so...
That's like an eternity.
So that is the lair action. 1 minute on the clock to strategize. Go.
I can give Phantom a freedom of movement.
There's no need. I am honestly great here.
Okay.
I can reach everybody with my spells.
In that case, I have a spirit weapon coming out, so I just swing a lot of sword.
Cool. I'm gonna, hopefully my dice will act like they're supposed to, and I can just keep swinging at the witches.
Should I start working on the little guys, or should I still do a sneak attack on Grimhilda? Or maybe the bull?
I think that the bull is a non-issue, honestly.
Also, the little guys are helpful to us. Once the wolf comes out, it pings off of smaller enemies, so we might want those around.
Thank you for remembering. Yeah, they will be very helpful, and I can munch them for health.
And that's time. So, first thing that's going to happen on Carrie Knight's turn, she is going to roll to save again from the Sickening Radiance.
Please.
So that is an 11.
No! Yay! DC is 15.
Oh, thank God.
So how much damage does she take?
4d10 radiant, and she takes 1 level of exhaustion.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Yeah! Sickening Radiance is good! So that's a 7 and a 10, and 3 and a 1. So 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. You know, that was the big one. I can die happy. That's all I wanted.
Okay, now she's going to roll to recharge that soul ring.
Never mind, take it back.
That's a 6.
I take it back! Go away!
So she is going to make her way back towards you, Larry.
But she's exhausted!
At level 1 exhaustion, that affects ability checks.
Larry's like, you gotta be kidding me.
Get her back in the Sickening Radiance. We could get level 2 on her.
Mm-hmm. And it was a con?
It's a charisma save.
You have advantage.
I do have advantage. Thank you.
She is going to hover over you. as she once again tries to pull out Sister Sycorax, and she says to you,
"You know what I hate about you, Lawrence Talbot? It's this whole good man shtick of yours. I know the truth. You're not good. At best, you're mediocre. And at worst, you're hypocritical. Look at how openly you flaunt this power that's caused you so much chaos and so much destruction. How much you cling to a soul that you have no right over. You are nothing but a liar, and the pity is wasted on you."
Oh, shit.
And what is that saving throw?
15 plus 7.
Ooh, that's gotta be good. That's gotta be good. Please?
It is good.
Please.
It's over 20.
Yes, but you also have a devil's bark, and I'm cashing in.
No!
Biscuit.
That's why you made this one special.
The consequences of our actions!
And the soul of Sister Sycorax gets rended from out of you.
Oh, he's back!
Finally free! And under your command, Mother Carrionite.
Put them in their place.
Which she will at the bottom of the turn order.
Anyone else feel like we kind of lost control of this situation?
Yeah. Larry, after having his soul cleaved through and that large source of energy pulled away, he's going to go a little slack. And Carrie Knight, you hear like a little bit of crunching and rending, and like a double voice comes through Larry. Carrie Knight. We don't like when our belongings are stolen, and by the end of the night, we will have the full collection.
Imhotep's in there going, fuck, this is just going to get a lot harder.
Oh, yeah.
And then Larry's just going to collapse from that and breathe heavily and try and come back to himself for his final moments until the wolf finally just takes over.
I am no stranger to dealing with demons. If you wish to intimidate me, you might want to pick one that at least cracks the top five.
And now it is Jack's turn.
Oh, come on. You guys can't have like an epic moment like that and just be like, oh, no, it's Jack.
We pan over to the bushes.
Bushes, how are you doing?
Bushes nods and says, I'm good. I will go ahead and use my hand crossbow and attempt another sneak attack on Grimhilda.
Go ahead.
20.
20 will hit.
Excellent. So that'll be another 25 of damage on Grimhilda.
Go ahead and describe your killing blow.
Oh, thank
yeah.
God. I was hoping. I just wanted to take one of them off the board before shit goes down. Jackal just kind of like pop up out of the bushes, get a real quick beat on her, and as she's facing Mary, you'll just see a bolt come straight through her forehead.
Damn. I like lean over. Do I see where it came from, or do I see like anything that signifies that you're in the bushes?
I mean, he's like standing halfway out of the bushes, so that way, like you see his upper torso and you see the plague doctor mask on.
Cool. I do the hiccup thumbs up from How to Train Your Dragon 3.
Sweet.
The crossbow bolt heads directly towards you, phases partially through her, and stops right in front of you before she starts to flicker out of existence and it drops to the floor.
I thought you were going to say it was going to hit Mary. And then after that, I'll use some of my movement to hide in some more bushes. And then I think that's all I can do for right now. Yeah, he'll just go ahead and do another hide action.
All right. And now it is the ox's turn. And the ox is going to make a charge attack at Phantom with advantage because he can't move out of the way.
Whoa.
So it's going to wind back and then charge forward.
That's okay. My AC is insurmountable.
16.
Oh.
Ah, damn. All right.
That'll be 15 damage.
Phantom just gored, standing upright still because of the immobilizing hands. Like, oh, cool. Oh, sick. Reminds me of Mary a little bit.
And Larry, it is your turn.
I know I'm not good. I know I'm a hypocrite. But right now, that doesn't matter. And he's going to quickly try and run behind Carrie Knight and hit her with two Eldritch Blasts to try and knock her back into the Sickening Radiance.
All right, go ahead and roll to hit.
They both miss. As he holds his hand out to Eldritch Blast, the next phase of the wolf coming in happens, and his hands start to crack, and the magic sputters out, and he's feeling the cramping and the pain, and the Eldritch Blast just go flying in either direction. Oh, well, next turn I wolf out. So that's it.
All right, Mary, it is your turn.
Okay, dice gods, please be nice to me. I'm going to go up to Carrie Knight and lightning her first with my rage.
All right, that is a 14.
Oh, she just fails. It was a 15 DC. So she gets the full damage of this, which is 5. And I'm going to swing for my sword attack. 2. You want to know the worst part? Because the 2 was right next to the 20, it moved like it was going to land on a 20, but then it just shifted, and it was like, no, it's a 2. LOL. So this is just my second attack, and that is... No, it's still single digits! I am cursed! I am fucking cursed with this bitch!
This is it, y'all.
I know.
All right, but does that end your turn?
Yeah, that is my turn.
All right, as a legendary action, which will be all 3 of Carrie and Knight's actions... She is going to respond to your frustration, looking you dead in the eyes, Mary, and say,
I told you, this does not concern you.
Oh, I don't like that line.
And everyone within 30 feet, so that would be Phantom, Larry, and Mary, make a constitution saving throw, DC 15.
Not 20! Are you fucking serious?
You just had to go through a character arc real quick.
Oh, yeah.
There's our boy.
8.
All right, so Phantom, reduce your max HP by 12. Oh. And she is going to heal for 12.
Nah, I wasn't using it anymore.
The soul energy spikes around her and she does a vitality drain. In an aura of effect. It'll hit Phantom, but you are able to buckle down, brace yourself, and just through sheer force of rage and willpower, withstand the blast.
Can I punch her in the face but not do any damage just because of how mad I am?
With a nat 20, sure.
She does her thing, and I just, like, brace and go, you know what? And I just block her right in the nose. Oh, I can hit you. Bitch, I'm gonna stab you!
All right, Imhotep, it is your turn.
So, first thing I'm gonna do is I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon at level 4. As he is running towards the ox and kind of start slashing at it with my, both with my Spiritual Weapon and with my main weapon, but really quick, he's gonna go, hey, Larry! Larry, can you hear me? Is that a yes?
Yeah.
So, you know how the wolf really, really, really wants to eat all their souls?
Uh-huh.
I didn't need them. At least Carrionites.
Can we discuss this after, maybe?
I mean, I'm just trying to do something before I have the wolf who will not be discussing it with me.
That's true. I'll see what I could do.
And then I'm going to... I'm going to do 2 attacks, one with the spiritual weapon, one with the Hellraiser into the ox.
All right, go ahead and roll to hit.
That's going to be an unnatural 20 for the magic for the spirit weapon. I cannot brain today, apparently. Hold on. Oh, and a natural 20 for Hellraiser.
Oh, nice.
Go ahead and roll your damage. I don't think it's possible for the ox to survive this, but we'll see.
First, it's 2d8 from the spirit weapon. That is 8 total damage.
Describe your killing blow.
You know what? I'm just going to make this as uneventful as I possibly can. He's yelling all this stuff to Larry. The ox has its horn stuck in Phantom. Imhotep kind of just runs up, grabs it around the neck, and then the sword just kind of comes in and slashes his throat, and he pulls the thing out. Never once looking or talking to Phantom, the fact that he just pulled a horn out of his side. Just the entire time, he's like, I kind of need that soul. Pulls the ox's head out of his side. Super casual, just does it. In the middle of very other very important things, just kills the ox.
Just mom pulling out a splinter.
Exactly.
So, Phantom, it is your turn.
So, for the wolf coming out, is it treated as a separate entity, or is a lot of it still essentially Larry? Like, would a buff transfer, or just be like... sort of lost.
I'll lose concentration.
Concentration on the sickening radiance will for sure be broken.
But, yeah, buffs should be okay.
Yes, buffs and debuffs will carry over.
Phantom holds up the conch close, pulls out another resonant, and Larry, you feel your teeth encircled with magical power.
Oh, sick.
Oh, that's gotta be really uncomfortable.
They're like buzzing.
Yeah, it's swirling around. Right now, it's like you're getting constantly flossed, which is not great. I rolled a 3 on the D8, so that's either a 1 or a 2 per attack. Dan, whichever you want to make that.
Let's round it up in this case, so it'll be an extra 2 damage per attack.
Okay. Until Phantom's next turn?
Yep, until the end of my next turn. And then that is a bonus action, so... would I know if all of the witches resist psychic damage or just Carrionite?
I don't believe you would know.
Well, then I'll just try a regular old Dissonant Whispers on Sycorax.
All right, and that is a wisdom save, correct?
Yep. It manifests as Phantom just doing like the SpongeBob Flying Dutchman meme, where it's like, oh my god, Sycorax, it's back. We haven't talked in such a long time, actually. I was thinking about you the other day, and I was wondering if... and it just keeps going endlessly.
That is an unnatural 20.
All right, so it'll be half of, or maybe even a quarter of, we'll see, 7 damage.
Only half.
Hey.
Ooh, interesting.
And she basically, on the heels of being rescued from the jaws of the wolf, will say,
ah, finally some peace and
quiet. Oh my god, Sycorax, it's back. We haven't talked in such a long time.
God damn it!
So now it is the zombies, which they will roll another save on the sickening radiance. And that is a 6. How much damage do they each take?
Let us see. 30.
All right, well, both of them are nuked.
Hey, all right. I know that'll screw me for when I'm a wolf, but let's just get players off the board.
The one closest to Phantom is going to make another strike at Phantom. One is going to come out of the bog and make an attack on Imhotep.
No.
And actually, two of them are going to attack Imhotep, and one of them's going to attack Phantom.
God damn it, what did I have to open my mouth?
For the two going for Imhotep, that is a nat 20. And an unnatural 20.
Oh, god damn it.
I will silvery barbs the crit.
Less.
That is an unnatural 22, which it's not a crit, so.
Yeah, I'm any.
And then the one going for Phantom will be an 18. So all three will hit, and that's going to be 6 damage on Phantom, then 5 and 4 on Imhotep.
Gross, don't like it.
As the zombie is, like, nibbling on Phantom, you can tell he likes the attention.
I think we need to have a very, very long discussion about positive and negative attention. No comment? Okay, cool.
What, am I going to agree to a long talk? Does that sound in character?
So now it is Sister Sycorax's turn, which... Mother Carrionite is basically going to signal to her and say to Mary,
if you want this to concern you, then so be it.
And Sister Sycorax will cast Phantasmal Killer. You will have to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
This one, unlike Phantasmal Force, does work on constructs and undead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she burned.
Probably should have said it earlier because now it feels like I'm stepping in, but I'll just go ahead and slip that advantage over to Mary.
Oh, thank you.
From the silvery barbs. Whoopsie.
How did that get there?
Well, the curse continues because the highest of them was a 3 and the other was a 2.
Mm. Yeah.
This is going to hurt, isn't it?
That is going to be 4d10 psychic damage. And you are frightened.
No!
At the end of each of your turns, you can redo that wisdom save to break free.
Mm-hmm.
Phantasmal Killer. You tap into the nightmares of a creature you can see within range and create an illusory manifestation of their deepest fears, visible only to them. So I want you to tell me what it is that she implants in your mind that causes you to have this reaction while I roll for damage on that.
After getting hit with this, Mary, like, kind of doubles over, like, clutches his head. He looks up, and he is no longer in the swamp. He is in the village where his namesake was burned. And as he's standing around, he sees all the villagers that he killed, but more so, he sees Mary, his friend, whose eyes are now healed from her blindness, her cataracts, and she is pointing at him, Frankenstein's monster, chanting with the rest of them, saying, "Kill, burn, burn the abomination, burn him at the stake, burn the creature and send him from whence he came." And all around Mary are just villagers with, like, the typical mob with pitchforks and knives and a windmill in the background that is on fire, just constantly spinning, and everywhere is fire. And from the ground, more of the people that Mary has slain throughout his life and through the adventures are just pointing and repeating, "Ill, burn, you do not deserve to live." And all Mary can see is just his namesake pointing at Mary, just constantly saying, "Burn."
Point of inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
Which probably is going to be used almost instantly because I want to get the fuck out of this thing.
Is this a curse or?
It's a spell.
Okay, just a spell effect.
Mm-hmm.
It is concentration, so Sycorax will have to maintain concentration on it. And at the end of each of Mary's turns, he can redo the save. If he fails the save, he will repeat the damage, which was 29 damage.
Oh, God, why?
God, holy damn, Jesus.
Now it is Mother Carrionite's turn, and she is going to make a claw attack and a scythe attack at you.
Oh, God damn it.
The claw attack will be... That will be a 12, so that's going to miss.
Yay!
The scythe...
Oh, scythe.
...is going to be a 22.
That hits.
So that is going to be... 20 slashing damage, which that will be cut in half because you're raging. So that's going to be 10 slashing damage.
Okay.
Plus 8d8 necrotic damage.
Eight.
It is necrotic damage, which I believe you are resistant to.
Resistant to necrotic and poison.
Okay, so that will be cut in half, but it is still going to be 8d8. That's going to be 35 necrotic damage.
What the?
Cut in half.
Oh, thank God.
17. It's going to round down to 17. I also forgot to have her roll to recharge her soul rend, so I'm going to do that now. And that's a 6. That recharges.
Oh, the 6s, damn.
Dan, you got hot dice today.
Have it.
So now the lair action.
Oh, no.
Once again, another round of bodies will rise up and shake the floor.
Mmm, delicious.
I'm free. Oh, no.
That is a DC 19 dex save to everyone or be knocked prone.
Natural 20.
Ooh,
nice.
Hell yeah.
22.
13 plus 7 on the save, so 20.
All right. It sounds like everyone stays on their feet.
Hell yeah.
No.
Oh.
No. Nay, nay. Back in the mud I go.
Wow. Again, I fail. I rolled a 5. I don't have enough room in my dice geo for all of these d20s.
All right, 1 minute to strategize, starting now.
Guys, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna run the flying fuck
get
away.
Get out of there, yeah.
I mean, what you got.
Absolutely.
I don't think you should not have to. My plan is to now at double the cost. I'm gonna repeat my polymorph play, which should get you out of the concentration.
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna lay in the cool mud and transform, if that's all right with everyone.
Yeah. I'm going to keep swinging, I guess. That's what I've got.
I was going to try and deal some more damage to Sycorax and maybe help out with... Carrionite, just in case the polymorph doesn't go off.
Yeah, if the polymorph works, I can be unfrightened and I'll get a lightning off, but I'm still going to retreat and down those two potions and also use my javelin to heal myself.
I hate to be that guy, but the potions won't work. The javelin will.
Never mind. The potions won't. Really? The potions don't work on me?
Nope. You heal from lightning.
Whoa. Okay. Never mind. I bought a potion of healing for nothing. Next time I see Huey, Dewey, and Louie, I want my money back.
You can still use them for everyone else.
I mean, you can always. Yeah. Chuck them. Chuck them at people that need it.
Well, I'm just going to have to run away and just use my one javelin, my one lightning thing to heal myself. So I'm going to have to do that.
Hey, whatever you got to do.
Do what you got to do. But yeah, sources of healing that'll work from you, any lightning damage and your own healing spells. You can target yourself with your own paladin healing, but health potions and other people's healing won't work on you.
Okay.
Mending?
Mending will work. Mending will take the place of a potion of healing. And then similar for Imhotep, other sources of healing won't work on you, but you can heal yourself with your own magic.
Very good. Okay.
Makes sense.
All right. So, Jack, it is your turn.
Alrighty, so Jack will again pop up out of the bushes and go for his potential sneak attack on Carrionite to attempt to break her concentration, hopefully. And also because we need to do some damage to this lady.
Yeah.
And that's a 19 to hit.
A 19 will hit.
Oh, thank God.
I'm going to have her roll to maintain concentration. Carrionite is able to maintain concentration so the zombies don't go away.
Wait, what happened?
Carrionite's concentration is on the Dance Macabre. Sycorax's concentration is on the Phantasmal Killer.
Oh, got it. Oh, no, she's a ghost!
Oh, damn it. Okay, I missed the order on that.
Same.
23 damage on Carrionite. That's not bad. I'm doing decent damage.
Yeah, keep it up, keep it up.
Yep, that's those sneak attacks.
I know that honestly, this hand crossbow just changed the game for me. So after that, you'll see a crossbow bolt just end up right in her shoulder because I thought I was going to have to move, but Mary falling down gave me a really nice clear line of sight. And from there, I'm assuming that everyone else is going to be okay, but Phantom, Imhotep, you guys need more mobility or are you good?
I mean, I didn't get knocked over. I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah, no, I think we're good. I think we're good.
Super knocked over.
Alrighty. He will back off even further and then he'll dive into some more bushes way back over there.
Okay, because you are so far away, I won't make you roll to hide. You will just successfully hide.
Excellent. That's what I was hoping for. And then, Dan, I'm going to message you something. It's an idea that I had for the wolf.
All right. Speaking of, Larry, it is your turn. Describe your werewolf transformation.
As Larry's sitting there in the mud, obviously this battle is very, very quickly slipping out of her favor, if it ever was there. And he's just between heavy breaths thinking, we've got to get out of here. Everyone's got to get out of here. I don't care about me, but I need to at least make it to tomorrow. I need to make it to tomorrow. And as he feels the silver full moonlight hit his skin, for a moon that's not even there yet, he feels that final moment of that transformation shift into gear. And his body starts rending and cracking in the mud, and he starts flailing frantically as that horrible wolf monster starts pushing through his form, filling his skin, stretching it out. And as this horrible beast that we all know so well, he rises up bigger than he's been before. He's much larger now, more teeth, more drooling, just nastiness. And he stares down Carrionite with this big fangy grin and says to her,
"Before you spoke about the princess, what care if I about her friends? I shall have great pleasure
We are the outcasts, the misfits, you might say. We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place, but us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful, dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly fright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including Pyropat, Rusty Halo, Gray Fox, A Skewed One, and Emperor Palpatine. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini campaigns, and one-shots, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode is Daniel Cruz as Imhotep, the Mummy, Ben Magnet as Mary, the Frankenstein Monster, Grayson Norman as Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, Aaron Coffold as Eric, the Phantom of the Opera, and Jordan Nelson as Larry Talbot, the Wolfman. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Additional music this episode was provided by Joylin Music and Braxton Cheney. Listen to new episodes of D&D Dark Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
Speaking of range, just, sorry, I'm taking this boss fight way more seriously than the other ones. I don't know why. We all have a slight movement speed boost from Larry's card of the day, right?
He still has the lovers.
Ah, damn it.
Oh, also a thing that I forgot to mention too, anything in the water is difficult terrain.
Why'd I jump in a lake? Oh, so dumb.
Consequences of our actions.
To be fair, we didn't know yet.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I am your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for. And to, make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're gonna be making comments like that, I'm gonna have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright, I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien. Premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to leave.